Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Here we go. 4 days away from Kenny Pickett's first start as he ushers in a golden age of Steelers football, let's hope. And he can put himself on the map and announce his presence with authority by pulling off, by point spread, the biggest upset in Steelers history. If they take down the Buffalo Bills, everybody's favorite to win the Super Bowl before the season started, 3-1 into Buffalo, that's the task at hand for Kenny as he practices today and gets his first chance with first-team offensive players at Steelers practice. Can you guys, Chris Muller, Donnie Football, think of a bigger upset in the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers than what Kenny Pickett has in front of him on Sunday? Don't say 2005 Steelers over Colts. Wasn't bigger. Was not.
Are you talking about strictly point spread or my expectations?
No, just say it, bigger mismatch. Was not. That Steelers team had gone 15-1 the year before and was red hot in December. Not that game.
Are you asking me based on point spread or my own
expectations? I'm asking you to use your own Chris Muller barometer, your bald dome index.
The BDI.
The explosive diarrhea index.
I want to just state for the record to
that
start
it was not explosive.
Show.
It was just regular diarrhea. It was just
not only was it
diarrhea.
Not explosive, it wasn't diarrhea. I had people, my own mother, texting me. I called her when I was on the way home from Laurel Valley. Hey, Mom, how are the kids? Thanks for watching them. I'll be home in an hour and 10 minutes. Honey, are you all right? Our friends asked if you were all right, said they hoped you were feeling better.
Donnie was very worried. So was I. That's so unlike you.
I was pulled
in the middle of a broadcast.
I was pulled from the show, not because my colon was exploding, but in fact, because I was pulled onto the golf course. They really had to twist my arm to play some golf.
Like a pitcher who went on the injured list for sneezing or for burning himself ironing or falling down a flight of stairs while carrying deer meat. Yep, just one of those excuses from old Mulsey. Uh-huh.
You think I had the DK Metcalf cart carry me to the bathroom?
Hey, didn't somebody call in and mention that yesterday, Donnie? Didn't they?
Yeah, there was somebody that said that. It got a big pop.
I respect Metcalf for being so
upfront.
All right,
come on, guys. Is there a bigger one? Can't say Steelers over Colts.
Steelers over Colts felt like a seismic upset because the Colts looked very much
and they
unbeatable.
They blew out the Steelers earlier in the year.
They,
I get all that. But the Steelers were red hot, and they'd gone to the AFC Championship game the year before.
There is not one that immediately springs to mind in my lifetime, no. The one that, you know what, all I can come up with are games that had they finished them off would have been. You know what it would have been? It would have felt like a massive upset? Steelers-Cowboys Super Bowl 30 had they finished that game.
Well, yeah,
game
they
off.
Were a 13.5 point underdog.
That's the closest.
Game.
I knew they were a huge dog, but like when you actually watch that game play out on the field, they more than played the Cowboys as equals. It was turnovers that did them in. No, I cannot, to answer your question, remember a situation where they were going into it as this big of a mismatch, this big of an underdog. Isn't this the biggest point spread in team history?
Well, there's actually been some extensive research that's been done on that in the last couple of days, and apparently they dug up a game from 1969 where they were a bigger underdog in that 1-13 season
now,
where they won their
count.
First game and then lost 13 in a row under Knoll.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, the Andy Russell Steelers.
No, so I would say this is as big of a mismatch on paper. And you know what's actually funny? I saw Matt Williamson with a stat and saying like the Bills have generated a higher pressure rate than every team in the NFL but one, while blitzing less than every team in the NFL, which is a very bad combination, as you know, for an opposing team.
Yep.
I actually think the mismatch is much bigger with the Steelers' defense trying to stop their offense right now. Like, I don't feel great about
especially
the Steelers' offense.
Especially with their walking wounded and the way they've looked even when relatively healthy. Of course, the massive asterisk that there's no TJ Watt, but everybody else out there. And they still can't get stops against Mac Jones and Zach Wilson at home. Now they got to go on the road and do it against Josh Allen. So we will hear Kenny Pickett later in the show. He decided he wanted to practice first and talk second. That's his prerogative. He's the starter now. He can call some shots even as a rookie. So you'll hear Kenny Pickett on with us later in the show. Live practice report coming up at 3:30. You heard Doug Whaley on the Fan today say, essentially, that what Kenny Pickett does is it sets or resets the Matt Canada odometer. It goes back to zero now that Kenny Pickett is in at quarterback. And if Pickett does even a halfway decent job, said Whaley, a man who was at one time Kevin Colbert's right-hand man, he said if it goes halfway decently for Pickett, that means that Canada stays. So that is the Steelers' catch-22. If Pickett does well, that means in the eyes of the organization and Mike Tomlin, it will be reason enough to keep Matt Canada on board.
And that would be devastating for a guy like you. And me too.
No, I don't think it would not be devastating
yeah, it would
to
be.
Me.
No, yeah, I it would be. No. You don't think Canada's a real offensive coordinator?
I do not, but I have
so
said
why would
before
you want him around twice?
That Pickett is Canada-proof.
But why? Hold on. That's such a defeatist attitude. Who are you? Wouldn't you
I'm
want,
a man who believes in Kenny Pickett that he can overcome
then why do you want,
created adversity
Tony,
by
then,
the Steelers and Mike Tomlin.
Then why don't you want him to be surrounded by a guy you think is the best that he can find at that position?
Oh, I do.
But you're set. Hold on, though.
Yes.
Then you shouldn't be happy because you think he can overcome them. You should want them to fire Matt Canada right now, no matter what, and find a big-time offensive coordinator to develop Kenny Pickett.
Well, I would love that, Chris, but who's going to be the big-time offensive coordinator that comes in with offense right now in the middle of a season?
I'm saying after the season, you should be really upset about the idea that Pickett would do well and save Canada's job. Because you shouldn't just want to settle for it. He can outdo the coordinator. You should want him to be nurtured by the best mind you can find.
I don't disagree with that, but I also think for a young player, if he's comfortable with someone, that goes a long way. Now, maybe Pickett is being a little bit dishonest, or he's not wanting to share his true thoughts on things because he is a rookie who knows his place in the locker room.
If he really is comfortable with Canada, that would be a blow to your anti-Canada stances.
Well, he went through with his commitment to Pitt in part because of Canada's recruitment.
So shouldn't you have a nicer view on Canada because Kenny Pickett seems to like him?
I have a view on Canada that as a schemer of an offense and as a game caller of an offense, he's in way over his head as an NFL offensive coordinator. But just like in life, we see this all the time in all walks of life. Sometimes it's not what you know, it's who you know. And if for whatever bizarre reason, if Matt Canada makes Kenny Pickett feel good on game day and allows for him to play better because he has the freedom to kind of do what he wants when he wants, and that empowers him, I can live with it. It's not ideal, but that might be better than the alternative, which is starting over with somebody new, because for as much as I'd love to see the Steelers go out and bring in a bright young mind offensive coordinator and somebody that's going to bring in all kinds of ideas and help the Steelers execute them and pull them off with a dynamic young quarterback, I also know that hell's not going to freeze over and pigs aren't going to start flying tomorrow, Chris. I don't really trust the Steelers to bring in that guy. So that's the other side of it. And I just don't think it feels right to kind of root for Kenny to fail or play crappy in the hopes that Mike Tomlin comes to his senses. And here is the Canada nugget that I teased and promoted on Twitter. I have been told that Matt Canada has another year left on his deal as offensive coordinator. He's under contract for 2023.
How exciting.
The Steelers haven't been firing assistant coaches. They've just been letting their contracts run out. That's what happened with Haley. That's what happened with Fichtner. when they don't want a guy, that's usually what happens. He doesn't get fired or shown the door. They just don't bring the guy back, and the coach leaves without any money left on the table.
Excited.
But that's what I've heard.
That's the way you run a big business. $1 billion what are they valued at? $2 billion now? That's the
I don't
way
know. I'm not Forbes, Malsy.
Yeah, but you have a photographic memory, and you know everything.
I haven't looked that up lately.
Well, go look it up right now. I mean, come on. What a pathetic way to run a business, which is true. I mean, they let guys they let the contracts run out. That's a fact.
You can definitely say that that's I agree with you.
It's pathetic.
But
it's the NFL,
you
man.
You can't deny that that's how they've done things.
No, I know. I don't believe Matt Canada's offense works, because I think a great offense, it's two prongs. Are you great on game day at out-scheming the other guy once it becomes a chess match full of adjustments? But on a base level, and this is the far more important part in my opinion, does your offense at base level, week in, week out, create separation downfield for your running back or for your wide receivers and create a reasonable amount, because it's a passing league, so this is less important, create a reasonable amount of quality running opportunities for your running backs? And I don't think Matt Canada does the former or the latter. I think he really doesn't do the former. I know Mitch Trubisky would miss occasionally open guys because he wouldn't get his head back around. Mm-hmm. But when he was completing passes, they were to well-covered individuals. That is a death knell, in my opinion.
If you had a choice, you could have Andy Reid with Mitch Trubisky or Patrick Mahomes with Matt Canada. What would you pick?
I would pick Patrick Mahomes with Matt Canada.
Right.
If you make the quarterback in the Andy Reid scenario just not Mitch Trubisky, like a mid-tier NFL starter, ranking like 14th through 17th, I'd probably take that guy with Reed.
Interesting.
Like an Alex Smith with Reed over Mahomes in Canada?
I'd still take my chances with Mahomes. This is not a way of trying to be a Matt Canada apologist, because I've really never been one.
I know, but it's weird hearing you take this posture right now.
But both of you guys, Donnie, Chris, at least allowed for the possibility that when Ben left with the right quarterback, that their offense could thrive with Matt Canada calling the plays.
Yeah, I changed my mind.
You guys both said that during the Bengals game. You saw Mitch Trubisky stink.
Changed
my mind. When Trubisky went out, their offense looked better with Pickett. So is it's really an impossibility that Pickett can't lift up Matt Canada and make him look reasonably good?
Okay, here's the unknown for me. Is there a completely different playbook that Kenny Pickett's going to operate from that Matt Canada literally never even showed Mitch Trubisky that the book existed? This is National Treasure 2, Book of Secret Plays that actually work?
Well, the Book of Secret Plays had throws that went over the middle of the field as soon as Pickett went in, and those plays didn't appear to be there with Roethlisberger or Trubisky earlier in the season. That's all I'm saying. That's it.
I mean,
Donnie, do you disagree with me on that?
That was his best throw, was an over the middle throw against a blitz. The one he threw to Pickens, though, right before the second interception, it was a textbook back shoulder play. That still is a tight window play. That is not in the NFL me saying, oh, yeah, you schemed the guy open. That is quarterback and receiver executing
at a high level.
But I don't
really think wide receivers get college football open. That's part
of the. Yes, they do.
They do?
You don't think Sean McVay's entire modus operandi, entire MO with the Rams, is getting Cooper Kupp wide open despite the fact that he is going to be the overwhelming focal point?
I don't see Cooper Kupp wide open.
Man, I do.
I see him open enough, and the guy is just a savant as a route runner that he makes the play like Antonio Brown did. Same thing.
I think Sean McVay, for all of his in-game coaching shortcomings, I think Sean McVay schemes guys open. I think Kyle Shanahan schemes running game guys open. I think Andy Reid schemes guys open. That's not just magic. Those guys do conceptual stuff that scheme open their best players.
Donnie, the floor is yours.
Where do you want me to go here?
Yeah, I mean, do you agree?
You kind of just left it open-ended.
You stood up for Canada. You quickly reverse course. Do you give him another chance now that Pickett's his quarterback? Yes or no?
I mean, Pickett can definitely make him look a lot better than he is. I mean, most quarterbacks do that, I think. I mean, there are definitely offensive geniuses out there, but whenever you have a great quarterback, he's almost always going to make every coach look smarter.
Let me pose it to you this way. Do you feel like Canada, like Kenny Pickett succeeding, would be a bad catch-22 then if it kept Canada around and maybe got him another contract extension? You know what I mean? Like, you have to feel like at some point either Pickett can literally drag Canada's offense into being good and we'll all have been wrong about Matt Canada, except for me, because I did say at the outset that I thought maybe a better quarterback could make it work. Or you've got to believe that there is a definitive ceiling with virtually any quarterback with what Canada likes to do. And then you would ultimately want him gone because he's going to stunt Pickett if you believe Pickett's the real deal. Like, it's one of two things here, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if there's something clear that is holding Kenny Pickett back, then sure. But, I mean, if it works, it works. If Kenny can make it work and it turns into a very good offense, then let it keep happening. If Kenny is able to handle it,
well, let's go back to the Whaley hypothetical with both of you guys. If Pickett plays 500 and plays decently, if you were Art Rooney, would you make Mike Tomlin fire Matt Canada? Chris?
If Pickett's 500 as the starter?
Yeah.
So what is that, 13 games? He goes 6-7 or 7-6?
Yep.
If I were Art Rooney, I would still, yeah, I would want to make a change and have a fresh start.
Donnie?
I'd probably go for a change there. I mean, if it's clear that it's the offense that is still holding the team back. I mean, say T.J. Watt comes back and the offense looks like the better of the two units.
But I think Whaley's argument was Pickett plays well enough to get them to 500.
Okay, here's another thought for both of you.
Because in that example, I think I would keep Canada around for an extra year.
Okay, let me pose this to you. I think we can all acknowledge what I'm about to say. It's going to be tough, would you agree, for Kenny Pickett at any point in the next 5 to 7 years to be the best quarterback in this division, right? Jackson, Watson. I'm not even mentioning Burrow here, but
you
Burrow.
You just did mention him.
Okay, so those are the
you
other
said I'm
three guys.
I'm not mentioning Burrow, and then you did
mention
him.
Yeah, because I, for a minute, blanked on his name, which was weird. We all agree, I think it's going to be tough for him to be the best. Do you think Canada Pickett as a combination can really outstrip what those guys are going to do in those places? Because if you don't think that that can happen, then you should cut loose the coordinator because you have far less of a tie to him. If you believe the quarterback's the real deal, but you don't think that that combination, that duo, can outdo the other guys in the division or stand on equal footing, you need to find someone better. That's what I would say.
Well, eventually you can. It just doesn't have to be next year.
Why wait, though? Time's a ticking. This guy's 24 years old.
Because I think in the long run, it might be helpful for him in his second year to not have to learn a new offense. Because so many quarterbacks break out in their second year. I think I would want to give him the best chance to do that. And I think not asking him to learn an entirely new offense would be the best way to get that out of him, even if the offense on its own isn't that great in the first place. That's my take. I know Herbert did it. Herbert's coaches got fired, and then his second year was magical, but just like his first.
Here's what I'll say.
He also threw 31 touchdowns in his first year.
If I were a Dolphins fan, I would be mad that Mike McDaniel is only starting there now as the schemer, as opposed to after Tua's first year. Now, granted, the Dolphins' malfeasance might have gotten Tua killed by this point, but Mike McDaniel can scheme guys open. If I were a Miami fan, I would rather have had him here last year.
I don't agree with that. The reason why I can't agree with that is because if I say that, then I have to take back what I've said about Flores being such a great head coach. Because then you make it sound like Flores actually was the liability there in Miami, and I just don't.
Well, it's just having
I don't
a defense,
feel that way
it's
about
having
him.
A defensive head coach versus having an offensive head coach in that particular instance.
Well, right, but if the head coach held back the franchise quarterback, that's not a good thing.
Then just say you had McDaniel as the OC last year, just on the staff running the offense. You would have rather had him for sure. 100%, you would have.
I'm not sold yet that Mike McDaniel's a better coach than Flores.
Is he better at offense? Obviously,
yes.
Because Flores isn't an offensive guy. And isn't the trend in the NFL generally to pair your young quarterback with an offensive head coach even?
In a few hours, the Pirates will play their last game of the season. Game 162 is late this afternoon. Major League Baseball has decided now to play all of the final games of the season at the same time. Something happened last night that hasn't been done in our lifetimes by the Pirates, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't even think in our parents' lifetimes. My parents were born late 50s. When were your parents born, Donnie? When was John football?
Early 60s.
Early 60s. Malzy?
Early 50s.
Early 50s. Okay, so, but they weren't old enough. They were still in Goo Goo Gaga diaper mode when this happened.
How long does Goo Goo Gaga diaper mode extend?
2-3 years.
If what happened is what I think happened when it happened, they probably were just moving out of Goo Goo Gaga
diaper phase. I think 53, 54, 56, 3 years in a row, the Pirates lost at least 100 games.
The last time they were not in Goo Goo Gaga diaper phase.
Okay.
For sure.
But they weren't following the Pirates at that point, were they?
Goo Goo Gaga, Ralph Kiner.
I don't think so. That was when the old things that Cook brings up all the time. Branch Rickey said to Ralph Kiner, "We can finish in last place with you, Ralph. We can finish in last place without you, Ralph." So all those people who stay until the eighth inning to watch your final at bat, we don't give an F about those people at Forbes Field. We're trading your ass to the Cubs. And that's the story of Ralph Kiner in a nutshell. That's why his hands and his bat are somewhere. I don't even know where they are at PNC Park anymore, do you? Where do they put that little statue? It's there somewhere. It's in the stadium. It's in the ballpark somewhere. Anyways, Shelton, after the game, was asked, "Yo, this isn't good that your franchise has done something for the first time in more than 60 years. What's your take on it?"
"How much does that sting? Does it maybe have an impact?"
"No, it has no impact."
"It has no impact," says Shelton. Well, it had an impact on attendance. There were about 2,500 people there last night, Chris. Your stomach for rebuild, where is it at? Put a little bow on the Pirates season an hour and a half before the last game. Put a little Chris Mueller button on things here before we bring Mackie in to tell us about what happened this year and the state of the franchise moving forward. Let's hear Chris Mueller's obit on the Pirates in 2022.
"I was excited by a lot of what I saw from O'Neill Cruz starting to punch back more often and starting to do exciting sort of..."
Yeah, nice hurdle expression there. The old punch back.
"Yeah, I'm not gonna say..."
"Did he have a little pebble in his shoe at the beginning of the year and then he popped it out of there and started showering well?"
Shut up!
"Punching back! Boom, 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 boom. Punching away."
I would say that while he was encouraging and he does cool stuff that you would want to bring people out to the ballpark, like hit the snot out of the ball,
yep,
I don't feel like they are in any appreciably better of a spot than they were when the season started in terms of a long-term rebuild. They might even be in a worse spot. That's my obit.
Well, if they lose today, they're in the same exact spot by record.
I'm not even evaluating them by record, Pony. I'm evaluating them by, like, did they find out about certain players? Have they laid groundwork
Donnie
to start
step
being
forward,
a good team?
Step backwards, I didn't feel like in that park. Happened. Donnie Football wearing his Barry Bonds jersey.
You know what they did in baseball terms? You know what they did in baseball terms, Donnie? They looked at, like, strike one. They looked at strike two. They've kind of waved the bat and waggled it, and now they're standing in there, and who knows what they're going to do for strike three.
They're choking up
Donnie's
a little bit.
Wearing his Barry Mickey Bonds Morandini. To celebrate the great single-season home run king. Congratulations, Aaron Judge, on finishing 11 home runs behind Barry Bonds this season. Your take on $22.
I'm always overly optimistic. I do think O'Neill Cruz gives some hope for the future.
Do you think that kid Brian Hayes playing with a bad back all year means
he's going
to be a different
guy? We got to ask Mackie about that. We got to ask Mackie about the sunflower seed eating.
Yeah, I mean, that was a little concerning to hear. Hopefully he figures that out since he said it. Pretty much just
keep Brian, get in the batting cage and figure that back out.
The duration of 162 games. Cruz gives me some hope. I mean, he came up. Everybody was pumped.
Donnie,
he hit a rough patch. There were people saying, this guy's another flop for the Pirates. I mean, he's coming on late.
Hey, Donnie, I know we got to take a break, but before we do that, can I just offer you the counterpoint? And, like, this sounds grim, but I feel like I'm obligated to point this out.
Well, that is you, in a nutshell. Always got to give that grim side of things.
So we're talking about, like, young talent, right, Donnie? Like, that's one guy, okay? And I think he could be a great, great player. I've already gone on the air and said he'll be better than Andrew McCutchen. I'll stick by that.
You don't want to walk that back?
No. Michael Harris on the Braves is just randomly a 21-year-old guy who looks like he's got an equally bright future. Looks like he's going to be a stud. They've got a guy in Austin Riley who's only in his mid-20s, not that much older than Cruz. Like, they've got Dansby Swanson, granted, late 20s, but you know what I mean. Albies, Acuna. That's like a whole phalanx of players, 25 and younger, who are kicking ass by the way, might I add, the defending World Series champions.
And the NL East champions this year, right, Pony?
Do you want me to dump you?
Oh, yeah, I got that great picture sent to me by fake John and Robinson. It said Pentagon, Hexagon, Octagon,
Division Gone. What were they down? 10.5 games in July?
Boy, if that isn't Metsy
at its
finest.
What a comeback for those guys.
But, hey, 100 wins for the Mets. Very nice.
Yeah, you guys can celebrate the Atlanta Braves if that's where you want to be today. If you want to be living vicariously through the team.
Somewhere Howard Johnson is
crushed the Pirates' dreams, go right ahead.
Somewhere Bernard Gilkey is just loving life.
Why not sign Aaron Judge?
No good reason not to. Good. I mean, he wouldn't. I don't think he would want to do it. but you could offer him as much money as you wanted.
The Pirates have an $85 million payroll. Let's say they pay Judge $50 million a year. Yep. Do you think that would get the job done?
No.
You don't? You don't think Judge would take 50?
No. Not in Pittsburgh.
Well, wait a minute. Why not?
I just don't think he would want to play here.
Who is the highest paid player in baseball right now?
It's what, Scherzer or Trout?
Do they make more than $50 million?
No.
So what if you gave them $50 million a year?
Do you think that players in this particular case, when the money gets that big, are just only about the money? Because I don't.
I think some are.
I think you'd have to. I think you might have to pay him $60 million.
$60 million a year if the next best offer is $45 million.
And I'm not going to limit this to the Pirates. Do you believe that there is a tax for teams, Pirates, Reds, some of the other teams in smaller markets where you have to overpay to a certain percentage above what another team would have to pay?
I think you have to overpay a little bit. I don't think you have to overpay that much. All I'm saying is that if you were to do this in a hypothetical that'll never happen, if you paid Aaron Judge $50 million a year and tacked on an extra $50 million to the Pirates' payroll, they'd be at about $130 million in like 22nd or 21st in the league in spending. It wouldn't be, from an overall payroll perspective,
sure,
it would not be unreasonable.
Of course not. Of course it wouldn't be.
So that's my answer. Sign Aaron Judge.
But Pony, isn't what you're saying there the crux of the problem across the sport? You just said pay the guy more than anyone's ever made in a single season, and it's not even going to make that much of a major dent in your payroll situation. That's pretty wild when you think about it. And there's a bunch of different teams you could say that about.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Kenny Pickett talking right now. You'll hear Pickett's points at 5 o'clock, the debut of that segment, as he's now anointed Steelers quarterback. The beginning of a golden age of Steelers football 4 days from now in Buffalo. Tall order. Steelers a 14-point dog for the first time since 69. And according to the Elias Stats Bureau, the last time a rookie quarterback faced the number one pass defense in his first start was 2004. Ben Roethlisberger. And the Bills have the number one pass defense in the NFL. Malzi, time is a flat circle.
Yeah, I don't really care that it's the number one pass defense because he goes in there playing with house money. I want to see him play well at 24. I think he needs
to play.
You ever play
with
well.
House money? You ever have a casino yes. say, here, Malzi, take some house money and go to town?
I'll bet MGM. I get a free bet. I play with house money.
How about an actual brick-and-mortar casino where you go there, you play some craps, you play some blackjack?
Here you go, Mr. Mueller. Here's something on the house. Yep. No, I think I've had free drinks given to me on the house because I've sat at a blackjack table for long.
Donnie, how about you in free drinks? Ever go to a casino and get offered rum and cokes?
I think one of the casinos around here does that. If you're actively playing, they give you free drinks.
We'll have to text Zeiss to get the answer to that question. He'd know.
Well, he just says, for me, it's all of them.
Little Calvin Austin talking at Steelers practice. He is off the IR, and now the Steelers have practicing again, now the Steelers have three weeks to activate him. More bad news for Gunnar Olszewski, who got blown to smithereens by Mike Tomlin yesterday.
Percentage chance Gunnar Olszewski is a Tampa Bay Buck at some point this year.
Cole Beasley retired, so there's an opening, Malzi.
Why do you think I brought that up?
Jason Mackey sent out a photo last night of PNC Park. Best Pirates insider, wears a lot of hats for the Post-Gazette. His bread and butter has been the Pirates the last few years. Does great work for us at The Fan, and sent out a tweet of that game, the penultimate game of the Pirate season. They finished things up in about an hour and change. Jason, it looked like there were 2,000 people there last night. Tops.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been good. You might have my tweet confused with somebody, though, Andrew. I was not here last night.
Oh.
I got off the COVID IL today. But, I mean, oh. I've been around for plenty of, sparse crowds. It's been that way a lot of this month. I mean, people
all right, so are they
going
to react to it? Do they look at the paying customers being fed up or apathetic and, okay, now we got to do something in the 2022-2023 offseason? What's Jason Mackey say to that?
Yeah, I think they react to it. Are they going to react to it by putting pen to paper? I think a little bit. And I think that's a big talking point with the Pirates. Like, they have to spend some money and show their fans they care. They do.
How much? What are we talking about? Give us a ballpark number. 50 million, 60 million?
No, I would be stunned if they spent that much. 20 or 30? I don't know. I mean,
where do you think they'd spend it? Like, where do you think they would identify that as we're going to get bang for our buck?
I mean, I think ideally they would like to have somebody like O'Neill Cruz signed to a Gregory Polanco-style extension. Whether or not that happens, I don't know.
Well,
but you
would understand that I would automatically say to that, that'd be nice if they could lock somebody up like that. But I think when fans want to see money allocated, don't you think it's on guys who currently aren't on the team that they are bringing
in? Yeah, not keep.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I get that. Now, I don't think they're going to go open up the checkbook for 50 or 60 million, guys. That's not what I'm saying. But, like, they have needs that they're aware of, and they are at first base. They need more pitching. They need to address the catching situation, although I do think they'll bring back Roberto Perez.
Why?
The biggest,
he can't stay healthy. He's Mr. Glass.
Yeah, but right now, I mean, they have three catchers that are actually pretty good prospects in Henry Davis, Andy Rodriguez, and Blake Sable. Sable would be the three of that three.
Okay.
But, like, you don't need to overspend because you might have Andy coming up here being good enough. Like, that's not where they're
So going. We're looking for, like, the Mitch Trubisky of catchers in the
no,
offseason?
No. Not what I said. Roberto Perez is a two-time Gold Glove Award winner. Like, I agree that, you know, staying healthy has not been his forte, but, like, if you're able to give him less playing time, I mean, he was very good for this team at the beginning of the season. I have no problem running him back. He knows what he's doing. Does he need to catch 120 games?
Okay, so bottom line is you're telling us, Jason Mackey, Pirates Insider, that the Pirates want to win next year. It's not another tanked year. They're not going to try to shoot for the best pick. They're actually going to try to get closer. They probably won't achieve this, but they want to get closer to competing for a playoff spot than just trying to get the best draft pick possible next year, correct?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go into next year thinking that they're going to be terrible. I think they're going to, you know, probably be shooting for a win total in the 70s somewhere. You know, I don't think that hope existed prior to this season. I think the Pirates probably are what they anticipated being at the very end of this. But I don't think they're going to do the same thing next year. I think they are going to get a few free agents with miles on the tires. Are they going to be premier names? Probably not. But you're going to find guys that, you know, this is a tough comparison to draw, guys, because I don't want to say they're signing the next A.J. Burnett or Russell Martin or whatever. But, like, that's the same section of the store I think they should be and will be shopping in.
Jason, do you think – or no, this is more of a broad-based one. You've covered this team and covered them well for a long time now. You've been very close to this team and by extension to the fans who consume this team. Where do you rate things right now in terms of the fan attitude towards this franchise relative to the rest of the years you've covered them?
People are as irritated as I've seen them, Chris. They're as irritated as I've seen them. And I actually just – I've had this conversation with a few people today, ironically. Like, 2019 was bad, but I felt like – you know, at least after it, there was a real, like, hope. You know, they said, well, okay, that sucked, but they blew everything up. They went in this good direction or whatever. It's a different dynamic right now because they're running things back. Like, I don't expect any substantive changes with the front office at this point or the coaching staff or anything. Like, there might be nips and tucks here and there, but there's
not going to
be a lot.
So does that mean Sheldon gets an extension?
He doesn't need an extension.
So he's a lame duck?
For next year.
So he just goes in?
No. I don't think that. I mean, he's under contract for next year, so they don't need to. You know, I think you'll probably
Yeah, but you know that you know how coaches and managers work. How often do they just have 1 year on a guy's contract and that's it?
Well, how many years do you have 3 years at 100 lost pace and your fourth year and you're coming back for it? I mean, that's
I don't know if they actually think that this is the hand he's been dealt and they like the job he's doing, then they would not have him go into next year like wondering if this is it for him.
Well, I think he should go into next year wondering what this is. What it is for him. I mean, I think what you need to do here, Andrew, and that's sort of what I'm saying, is like give the guy some better players and see what you have. You know, put a more competent team on the field, and if he does something with it, then you've got your answer. If he doesn't do anything with it and they stink based on what they've gotten and, you know, what they should be getting theoretic, I mean, in baseball, you can get everything down to a number. You know, if they're not getting that out of the manager, then you make a move. I don't think it's fair to say he's a good or bad manager at this point because his rosters have just been too ill-equipped, and people get mad. And you get mad about the Pirates. I'm just like, it's not Derek Shelton's fault that they're running out Johan Ramirez in the ninth inning or something. I'm just picking an example, but you know what I mean.
I think the whole conversation about what Shelton deserves, doesn't deserve, is he a lame duck, is he not, is so lost on me because I think he's just I'm totally indifferent to him. You could replace him with literally any manager in baseball or minor league baseball, and I
very
think
well
the
said.
Same exact
Great
results.
Great point, Chris. What I don't get is why do so many people in Jason Mackey's shoes tell me that the bench coach is like the second coming of Jim Leland and is going to be a great manager. If he is, then why wouldn't you just promote that guy and make him the manager next year? That's what I don't get. If you got a great manager in waiting, why wouldn't you just make the guy your manager?
Because I don't think they're ready to punt on Shelton being a bad manager.
But if you've got the second coming of Jim Leland behind him, why would you let him block that guy?
Well, because have you determined that the first guy is Manny Acta? Like, I don't think they've come to that conclusion. Right or wrong, I mean, you're asking me why they're doing something, not if I endorse it, Andrew. I mean, right or wrong, I think Charrington thinks that Derek Shelton's a very good manager. Charrington's in
charge. Well, then he should give him an extension.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I also understand if they say, look, I want to see how he handles good players. Like, this is our plan. We're going to stink. Here's we're going to come. We're going to come out of the wilderness in 2023. I seriously I do think that's what's going to happen. And then we're going to evaluate you based on that. Like, that's a fair way of doing things.
Now, what's this deal with Hayes is trying to tell everybody that the reason why he didn't hit for any power this year is because he basically had a debilitating back injury the whole year? What the heck's that all about? I thought a trainer talked every day or once a week about Pirates injuries. What's that all about,
Justin?
That's
a hidden injury.
Yeah, that's, again, I was not here last night, and so I'd like to have some context on, like, what he's been dealing with and how serious he's been dealing with it. I mean, or, you know, how he's asked the question. I'm not trying to defend Guy Bryant. I mean, he needs to hit for more power, needs to produce more for the contract he's given and the place he plays with this franchise. But, like, does he have a serious back injury, or was he just trying to answer a question on, like, you know, how much of a pain in the butt is this? I don't know. And, I mean, sooner or later, you're on the field, you need to produce. If you're not healthy enough to be on the field, then that's a different story. But if he's playing, it's fair to expect him to produce like somebody who's playing. I mean, that happens all the time. And back injury or not, like you're making $10 million a year. You need to produce better than a 650 OPS. So I don't know. I mean, that's my sort of like towing the line version of it because I wasn't there. But, look, he's done some things too this season that I think it's fair to say probably needs to grow up a little bit. And I like Keith
Ryan. Well, doesn't that get put back on the manager too?
Yes, it does. I'll go with that.
Jason,
because he shouldn't have played the day after the sunflower seed thing.
I would agree with that, actually. As inconsequential as it was in what is, by definition, pretty much an inconsequential season for them because they were not going to win a lot of games.
I mean, if we're going to give Terry Francona credit for a young team playing hard and winning, shouldn't we do the exact opposite when a team doesn't do that?
You don't think that Terry Francona's team is better than this one, though?
Look at the payroll.
You don't think they have more talent?
Look at the payroll.
Well, then isn't that a reflection of Ben Charrington? If you say look at the talent, then Ben Charrington...
Payroll's lower than the Pirates.
Hasn't done enough.
I think the Indians are just... Or the Guardians, excuse me, are just a better team than the Pirates. I think more clay to mold.
I think they are, and I think he does have more clay to mold, which gets me to my last question. How many actual pieces, in your estimation, based on what you've seen, do they have built towards a contender here? How many guys are already on hand who are real pieces on a contending baseball team?
Yeah, Chris, and that's sort of what we're all trying to figure out, right? And, I mean, I can go down the list. Like, if I look at position players, I mean, obviously you're going to have Neil Cruz in there somewhere.
Okay.
By contract alone, Key Brian Hayes. I've really liked what I've seen from G1 Bay. I'm going to go Brian Reynolds, Jack Sawinski.
You think Reynolds is back next year?
I do.
Okay, that's a big news item right there. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't think it happens. I don't know if he finishes the year with the Pirates, but I think he's back. And then I look in the rotation. I see Rowanzi Contreras. I see Mitch Keller. Let's say, between the other ones like Brubaker, Oviedo, Luis Ortiz. Let's say we get at least one, hopefully two.
Okay.
Those guys start to pan out.
Okay.
And I mean, I'd like to see them sign a pitcher, and you've got some kids on the way with like Burroughs and Priester and whatever. So on the major league roster, I don't know, 10, 11, factor in some bullpen guys like Crow, Bednar, I think they'll be around.
Bednar on the opening day roster next year, yes or no?
Bednar, yes.
Is the guy who is the opening day first baseman for them better or worse than Anthony Rizzo?
Worse.
I don't like that answer.
Or does it surprise you?
Where does the $20 to $30 million get spent then, Chris?
I think we asked you this in some way already. I think we asked you this in some way already.
You're setting a pretty high bar there, Andrew.
I am.
You're telling me they're going to go buy Anthony Rizzo is not a bum.
Do you think that they're Jason?
He's probably a $15 million first baseman who could be like your Russell Martin for this team. That still gives you the other $15 million you were talking about, Jason.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to paint myself into a corner here, guys, but I mean, I don't understand how they can go into the offseason and not spend at least $20 million, right? Like, given what their payroll is. I mean, hopefully it's a contract extension or something like that. I mean, I realize that's not going to be 20.
I think those extensions, what frustrates me is you are not spending on outside players. You are just saying, hey, look, we're trying to lock up our own guys, some of whom might not be all that proven yet. Like, people want to see groceries that exist outside this little sphere here. The other thing is, Jason, at first base, I have this feeling, you mentioned all these catchers that they really like, Endy and Davis specifically. I feel like knowing them, their plan is that one of those guys ends up playing first base and one stays at catcher.
It could be, and I would probably put my money on Endy. He's the most athletic and able to move. But yeah, and another guy I think about is Rodolfo Castro. It's kind of like an X factor.
He's the phone guy?
Probably not. Not the what's that?
He's the guy that dropped.
Yeah, they have a phone guy and a seeds guy this year.
Oh my God, I can't believe those two things happen. I've covered some crazy crap on this beat, and that's right up there, man.
Which one is objectively funnier to you? The visual of the phone flying out of his pocket is, I think, something that should be in their video yearbook.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. That's and like you should. What you should do is create like different things flying out of his pocket. Like if this was like my college,
I want to Photoshop like I actually want to Photoshop like flying out of his pocket is a phone tuned to the Odyssey app for Pony and Muller. That's what I want to Photoshop.
Yeah, that's a good one, Malzy.
There you go.
Get him listening.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great ad.
All right, Jason, we like listening to you on weekends now and when you fill in. We got that vacant Zeiss spot. You've pinched hit nicely the last few times you've done it. So good job there. We'll be in touch. Okay.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
There
have a good
go.
One.
Mm.
Do you get the sense when you talk to Jason, who's very plugged in, that we're peppering him with very relevant questions, but that it's tough to come up with the answers when you don't feel like there necessarily are any?
Well, I just don't like the...
From his perspective?
And he's just a middleman and a messenger for us, but the idea that, like, a step in the right direction next year...
70-odd wins.
Is 75-87. Yep. I'll say this then. If that's what they're shooting for, you might as well just lose another 100 next year. Why not?
Because, well, what I get out of that is, and again, you're right, he's the middleman.
You're going to take a half measure and get yourself to, like, 88 losses?
How do you even know that getting to 75-87, you get there via all the players you foresee as your future, right? Contributing. What if there's a guy who's just sort of a rando who has a great year, but you don't have any intentions on him being a part of a contender? Then what?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.